All right, Jabal said, good morning. Baruch Hashem, we have three sponsors for this morning's daf. I want to thank Milton Melanie Gertner for sponsoring commemoration of the yahrzeit of Milt's mother, Fruma Bas Yitzchok Michel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. And to thank Menashe and Bracha Efron for sponsoring the daf in celebration of the birth of a grandson born to Yaakov and Libby Fragan in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Mazel Tov, Shebizocha Lachniso Vervisel Shavram Avinu Bizmano, Shegad V'Latorah L'Chupa L'Masim Tovin. And by Mr. and Mrs. Schoenfeld, in honor of Menachem's birthday, Mazel Tov, Mr. Schoenfeld, you should have incredible years of nachas from your entire mishpacha, Menachem, growth and alertness to your neshama until 120. Amen. All right, Tavosai. Good. That might be a daf yomi record. Baruch Hashem. Three sponsors. Baruch Hashem. All right. We'll say, let's continue. So we left off yesterday on the top of daf gimel amud aleph. So we left off 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. So the Gemara says the following. Remember, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, the Mishnah taught us the halacha of that when someone brings a get from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, we'll stick with that case for now, that a shliach has to say what we call a shliach la'olacha, which is the agent appointed by the husband to deliver the get, has to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. The get was written and signed before me. We try to understand why that is. We had a machlokis between Rabba and Rava. Rabba said because lefi shem ikiyim l'shma, outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're not really proficient in the laws of writing a get l'shma. Again, we haven't yet defined what exactly about a get has to be l'shma, how exactly that manifests itself, just that it has to be written for a specific woman and a specific man. Rava said because the issue over here is lefi shein eidim tzuyin l'kaimo, because the witnesses will not necessarily be present in the event that the get is challenged by the husband. If the get was written in Medina Sayam, the witnesses may not be present to uphold the get, and therefore again, excuse me, and therefore again, we have the witnesses go ahead and say b'fanechtam, essentially upholding the get. So says the Rav Gemara, ulurava, the Amar Lafi Sheit Narbosa. So there's going to be a lot of repeat from yesterday's sugya as well. Ulurava, the Amar Lafi Shein Eidim Mitzuyin Lekaimo. Now, both say according to Rava, who holds that the reason you say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam is because the witnesses are not available to uphold the get. In other words, out of a concern that if this is a get being brought from Medina Sayam, if this is a get being brought from overseas, then l'maisa, again, the concern may be that the witnesses who signed on the get may not be available to go ahead and attest to its authenticity in the event that the get is challenged. And therefore, when the shliach says b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam, he essentially is testifying to the authenticity of the get. If that's the case, then what? Liboy trei. So Rabbi said, what Gemara is asking on Rava, same question we asked on Rabbi yesterday, which is that you're essentially telling me that this shliach who brings the get is essentially what Rabbi saying? He's testifying, he's giving edos about the validity of the get. He's saying that the witnesses who signed on the get are kosher witnesses. If that's the case, that we're giving edos, then edos should require two. Midi dahava akiyim shtaras. It should be no different, Rabosai, than a case of kiyim shtaras. Now, what's kiyim shtaras? We'll get into this a little bit later on. Kiyim shtaras is any general process by which, again, if you have a shtar, and that shtar ultimately has witnesses signed on it, and people challenge the validity of that shtar. So kiyim shtaras is the process by which you uphold the validity of the shtar by validating the signatures of the witnesses. So this essentially is no different than any other case of kiyim shtaras. The Gemara says, "Midav kiyim shtaras ta'alma." So he said, Gemara asked, therefore on Rava, you should require ultimately shnei edim, one aid should not be enough. To which the Gemara says, "Eid echad ne'eman bi'isurin." To which the Gemara says, no, this is enough, and I'll tell you why. Because this is a matter of Isser. So because this is a matter of Isser, therefore, Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Issurin, one Eid is believed in matters of Isser. And therefore, again, that's enough over here. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Paul said, this is literally a repeat of the question that the Gemara asked on Rabbah yesterday. Eimer Daminan Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Issurin, when do we say that an Eid Echad is believed in matters of Isser? Kegon chaticha safik shachelav safik shulshuman to lo ischazik isura. So Rabbi said, when do we say eid echad ne'eman bisurin? That's, for example, if you have a piece of meat and you're not sure, is it chelav or is it shuman? It's a safik. So in that case, the isur identity of the item has not yet been solidified. So under those circumstances, an eid echad has the power to go ahead and create the identity, or I should say, resolve the ambiguity. However, avahocha, but in this case, over here, Rabbosai, in this case, being a get, is chazik isur de ishas ishavi. So Rabbosai, but in this case over here, remember, we're talking about a case where it's what's called is chazik isura. Is chazik isura means the isur has already been solidified. Rabbosai, what does that mean? That lamaisa, again, she's a married woman. Remember, again, the one thing we know is that this couple was married. That's what we know they're married. So the only shayla is if this get is valid or not. So we'll say, so this is a case of ischazik isur, where the isur is validated and the isur is solidified. If that's the case, then lemaisa, again, one aid should not be enough. Havi davar sheba erva, this becomes a matter of morality. Ve'in davar sheba erva pachos mi beis. And in reality, then, any testimony regarding matters of morality, or for that matter, immorality, cannot be given with less than two witnesses. So we'll say, so bottom line, what the Gemara is asking on Rava is, Rava, if you're telling me that when a witness, well, not when a witness, when a shaliach brings a get from Medina Sayyam Teretz Yisrael, he has to say, b'fanei nechtav, or b'fanei nechtav. And the reason you're saying that he has to do that is because why? Because essentially he's upholding the signatures on the document. If that's really the case, then one shaliach, one witness should not be enough. Rather, again, you should need two. That's the fundamental question the Gemara is asking. To which the Gemara says, well, here's the difference. Bedinu, in reality, the Bekiyim Shtaros, Nami Lolibai. It will say, in reality, you shouldn't even require Kirim Shtaros over here. You shouldn't have to go ahead and validate the signatures of the witnesses on this document. Why is that? Kedir Reish Lakish, the Amar Reish Lakish, Eidim HaChasumin Alashtar, because Reish Lakish says, when you have signatures on a document, then what? Nasu Kimish Nechgira Eidusan Bebezdin. So we'll say, this is actually a very important idea. So, you know, in general, this whole notion, we'll get more into this, of Kiyum Shtaros, you know, raises certain questions about just the validity of documents in general, right? In halacha, if somebody produces a document and that document is signed by two witnesses, do we assume from a halachic perspective that document has some level of validity and is considered to be a valid document until otherwise challenged? Or do we assume that every document is under the suspicion of being forged until it is verified through a kiyum shtaros process? So both said, we will see. That is part of a fundamental dispute. Reish Lakish chooses to go with the first approach. In other words, Reish Lakish says, then no, when you produce a document, and the document looks kosher, and it has two witnesses on it, we assume that that document is kosher. The only time we have to engage in an investigative process is when? Is in the event that the document is challenged. But in the absence of a challenge to the document, when somebody produces a document that looks like it was done in Beis Din and signed by regular witnesses, then again, we assume that's good. And in fact, Reish Lakish takes it a step further. He says that when witnesses sign on a document, that is the equivalent to having their testimony. That is as if their testimony was vetted in Beis Din. Now, what's the pshat behind Reish Lakish's approach? Take a look at Rashi. This is actually quite interesting. So Rashi says, because people would never be so chutzpedik to forge, to go at Lizyufe to forge a signature. I will say, now the reason why people aren't chutzpedik to forge a signature is the following. It's not because people aren't chutzpedik. We'll say it's because people in general, smart people at least, you can never plan for stupid people in general. That's klal gadol in life. Klal gadol in life. But we assume most people are not stupid. So regular people only will do something illegal if there's a chance they can get away with it. If it's something that stands to be discovered, most intelligent people won't do it. To go ahead and forge a document is going to be something that over time, might not be immediately, but will be discovered. For the simple reason that we're going to learn that a shtar has a kol, right? A shtar generates a certain publicity to it. So Lemaisa, what Rashi says is the following, that essentially, according to Reish Lakish, if you have a document, and that document has two signatures, we assume that document was properly vetted. Because we can't assume that people are forging things, because a person is not going to be so chutzpahdik to engage in a crime that is so easily discoverable. Rabbanan hu dasrach. So says Reish Lakish the following. So look what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, in reality, when the shliach brings the get from Medina Sayam on behalf of the husband, it really doesn't need any kind of kiyum, right? Why? Because midaraisa, we hold like Reish Lakish, actually, midaraisa. In reality, we hold like Reish Lakish, namely that what? That when you produce a normal-looking shtar, so we assume that shtar is kosher. You don't need any type of validation process. It's the rabbis who require, Rabbanon hu da'asrich, it's the rabbis who require a validation process, and it's the rabbis who kind of wanted another fail-safe, you know, another mechanism of validation. So the rabbis legislated that when the shliach brings the get from the husband from overseas, he should say b'fanei nechtam or b'fanei nechtam. So the Gemara says v'hacham yishum eguna akilu barabanon. But because to avoid aguna problems, in other words, in order not to make this process unnecessarily protracted, so the rabbi said you don't need two witnesses, rather you only need one. So we'll say, so again, a very interesting argument. So essentially what the Gemara is answering is that according to Rava, you really don't need anyone to say b'fanei nechtam or b'fanei nechtam. Because once a get is produced and that get looks kosher, if it looks kosher, and what? And there's no one objecting to it, then we assume it's kosher. But rather, the rabbis wanted us to have another mechanism for validation. So fine, so you have a shliach that says b'fanei nechtam. But we don't need two, the rabbis only required one, in order not to make this process too difficult upon the woman, and not to cause aguna problems. To which the Gemara says, well, it's the same question as yesterday. So the Gemara says, hai kula chumruhu. But this which you think is a kula ultimately result in a chumruhu. Why? Di matraches le treilo asibal ma'arer u'pasilei, chad asibal u'ma'arer u'pasilei. To which the Gemara says, but one second, that kula of only requiring one will actually translate into a chumra. How so, Rabosai? Because if you require two, then what? Once the two come along and say, b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtam, once they make that statement, then the mice again, the matter's closed. The get is upheld, we're done. Now that you're only requiring one, that opens the door to the husband to come and to object about the validity of the get. To which the Gemara is the same answer as yesterday. Kevan de Amar Mar, bifnei kama nosna, since we know that when the shliach comes to deliver the get, he doesn't just deliver it straight to the woman, rather he gives it to her in front of a group. In front of how many? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, chadamar bifnei shnayim, v'chadamar bifnei gimel. So both say machlokes, some say gives it to her in front of two people, others say gives it to her in front of three people. Meikara meidikdayik, v'lo osi l'iruye nafshe. So I will say, since again, in the beginning he is medayik with his words, since in the beginning, at the end of the day, he is meidikdak, we spoke about this yesterday, the shaliach does not want his own reputation to be tarnished, therefore again, he's going to make sure that before he leaves, the husband is on board with this get, and he's going to get all his ducks in a row, therefore we know that when he shows up and he says, b'fanei nechtam, that husband is not going to come to object afterwards. Fine. Suppose I say, at this point in time, we have successfully explained the shitos of Rabba and Rabba. Now the Gemara asks another question. But Rava, my time alone, Mark Rabba. So we'll say, Rava who holds the fi she'in edim mitzuyin l'kaimo, why does he not hold like Rabba, who says the fi she'in b'kiyin l'shma? To which he gives a very interesting answer. Rava, my time alone, Mark Rabba, Amr l'cha, mi katani b'fani nechtav l'shma, b'fani nechtam l'shma. So we'll say, so Rava has a very, very simple point. Rabba, If you are correct that this whole testimony of the Shliach is about Lishma, so why doesn't the Shliach explicitly say, Befanai Nechtav Lishma, Ubefanai Nechtam Lishma? Meaning, why using ambiguous wording? Get to the point. To which the Gemara says, good kasha. So how does Rabbi answer that? Rabbi says, you're right. In reality, that should have been what the Shliach said. He should have said, Befanai Nechtav Lishma, Befanai Nechtam Lishma. However, Ubedinu Deles Niachi, Ela di imafshes le dibura asa le migzie. We'll say what we're concerned about is the following. If you make his speech too long, if you make the script too long, then what's going to happen? He's going to leave off part of it. So we'll say, see, here's the problem. Remember, whatever the script is, the shliach has to stick to it. If he breaks with the script, it opens up doubts about the get. We'll say again, we're going to see this. If you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says something very interesting. He says, not yet. Fine. So not yet. So the idea here we're going to see is whenever it comes to a get, however Chazal choreographed the process, that is how the process must work. And if you deviate, the get is bottle. Therefore, Rabbah is concerned with the following. If you tell me he has to say, Befanai Nechtam Lishma, so that's a lot more to say. It's only two words. We'll discuss why that's an issue in just a moment. So we're afraid he's going to leave off Lishma. If he leaves off Lishma, Rabbah says, so it's not just, you know what? He got most of it pretty good. If he leaves off that word Lishma, that casts aspersions on the get. Therefore, in order not to create a problem, we just have him say Befanai Nechtav or Befanai Nechtam. And remember, when he says that statement, that opens up a dialogue where we ask him about Lishma, to which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hashtanami Asya L'migzeh. So why aren't I concerned that he's going to leave something off of Befanai Nechtav or Befanai Nechtam? To which the Gemara says something very interesting. Chada mitlas goyz. Chada mitarti lo goyz. So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, you know, one out of three words a person could forget. One out of two words a person is not going to forget. In other words, also what the Gemara is saying is like this. The phrases of Befanai Nechtam, so the truth is they roll off the tongue, right? And also it makes sense because it refers to two parts of the get. There's a part of the get that's written, there's a part of the get that's signed. So we're not worried that anybody's going to forget one of those words. Once you start adding in the Shema, there was a concern. I'm saying, you say to yourself, but come on, really a person can't remember to say the Shema? Plus, I understand what the Gemara is concerned about over here. You're right. Perhaps most people will not forget Lishma. But in the event that the Shaliach does forget Lishma, then what happens? It throws doubt on the entire process, which could cause major, major problems. Remember, I will say, the whole process of Gittin is fraught with many complications, which we will learn about. Some of them are solvable, some of them are not. Wherever Chazal have the ability to streamline the process and to not create additional potential pitfalls for the woman, that's what they are interested in doing. So as much as we love the Shliach to say, Befanai Nechtav Lishma, Befanai Nechtam Lishma, what we are concerned about is if that's what we mandate, then if he doesn't say that, again, we've created a major issue. Why doesn't Rabbah hold like Rava? Amar Lecha Imkein, Nisni Befanai Nechtam Vesulo. So says Rabbah, Rava, if you are right, that this is about upholding the signatures on the shtar, then why do you have to say Befanai Nechtav? It was written in front of me. Who cares about the writing? All you should need to say is what? Befanai Nechtam, it was signed in front of me, to which the Gemara says, Visulo, Befanai Nechtav Lamali, Shmamina Be'in Lishma. The fact that the mission includes Befanai Nechtav and Befanai Nechtam tells me what? That we're talking about Lishma over here. V'Rava, because once you understand that, according to Rava, remember, the whole idea of Fanechtam is to validate the signatures, which means that all that should be necessary is for the Shliach to say, Befanai Nechtam, it was signed in front of me. Why does the Mishnah require him to say Befanai Nechtav? It must be because the Mishnah is talking about the obligation to write the get Lishma. To which the Gemara says, V'Rava, so how does Rava answer that? V'Rava, bedinu deles nihachi. Rava says, you're right. In reality, the Mishnah could have just said, Befanai Nechtam. We didn't even find Nechtav. Ela de'im kein, asi lech lufei bikim shtaras da'alma be'edechad. but rather says Rava, the issue over here that we have is what? The issue over here that we have is that this could come to get confused with another case of Kiyum Shtaras. And people will think that regular cases of Kiyum Shtaras could also be done with one aid. Now, Bosse, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Asi Lechlufe, Rashi says, V'muchacha milsa dilekiyume asi. Remember, if the shaliach shows up and just says, Bafanai nechtam, and doesn't say Bafanai nechtam, the document was signed, the get was signed in front of me, but was not written in front of me, or he just says it was signed in front of me, then that looks like a regular case of Kiyum Shtaras. That looks like a regular case of upholding a document. Uman duchazi, I'm reading Rashi, Sover kol shtaros nami bechad nekaimi, iasi chad sada v'omer makir ani ksav yedei edin. Remember, what is the concern over here, says Rava? The concern is that if the shaliach just would say b'fanei nechtam, that the document was signed in front of me, then this looks like this really looks like a case of Kiyum Shtaros, and people will assume that all cases of Kiyum Shtaros, a validation of documents, could always be done with one witness. And in fact, we know that is not the case. Under normal circumstances, Kiyum Shtaros must be done with what? With two witnesses. Remember, we'll say, this is a special kula we have by Yin, that it could be done with one witness. So out of a concern that they don't want people to confuse the cases, Rava says, that's why you make the Shaliach say, Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechtam, in order to make this case of Kiyum Shtaros look dramatically different than other cases of Kiyum Shtaros, and therefore people won't say, if Eid Echad works here, Eid Echad works over there as well. So the Gemara says, Rabba, how does Rabbi answer this? Midami, Rabbi says, come on, you can't even compare the two. The case of Gittin and the case of regular Kiyum Shtaros are so dramatically different. How so? Hasam yadinan hacha befanai. So first of all, say the formulation is different. Under normal circumstances, for regular Kiyum Shtaros, Rabbi will say what happens is witnesses show up in Bezin and they say yadinan. They say, number one, we know, yodimanu, we know that this signature is a valid signature. There's no befanai. So first of all, Rabbi says the fact that we're using a different formulation differentiates this case from the beginning. Next, hasam isha lo mehemna, hacha isha mehemna. Rabbi will say, in regular cases of Kiyum Shtaros, a woman is not believed to give eidos to validate a document, but yet what? By a get, she is believed to be the shaliach and to say, befanai nechtam, befanai nechtam. Next, hasam bal davar lo mehemen. Furthermore, again, in Kiyum Shtaros, the principle of the shtar, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's the person who's obligated in the shtar is not permitted to validate his own document. All right, the owner of the shtar is not permitted to validate his own document. Hacha bal davar mehemen. Well, so this is actually a fascinating case. So we're going to see Rashi quotes this case over here, where let's say a husband says to his wife, husband and wife are both in chutz laretz. Husband gives his wife the get and says, you're not divorced with this get until you bring it to the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. So she brings it to the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael and she says what? Befanai nechtav or befanai nechtam. So she is believed, she's called the baldover. She's called the party affected by a document. She is believed to mean, not only a stam woman is believed to go out and be the shaliach, but even the baldover, the person impacted by the shtar, is believed in this case as well. So what Rava says is, Rava, you're concerned over here that people are going to confuse the case of get with regular Kiyum Shtaros. Not true. The case of get is so dramatically different on so many different levels that people are not going to confuse the two cases. The Rava, Amalacha, Rava would say to you, Atu hacha ki amri yadina milo mehemni. So Rava says like this, you know what? But at the end of the day, if if the woman shows, if the aide shows up, and the aide says, Yadinon, we know, or I know in this case, that the signatures on this shtar belong to the people who signed it, would we not believe them? In other words, Rava says that as much as technically speaking, we try to use a different formulation, but at the end of the day, if the aide uses the formulation of Kiyum Shtaros, lemaisa what? It works. So because of that, v'chivan dikhi amrini adina mehemni, asi lech lufei b'kiyum shtaros ta'alma be'ed echad. And therefore, Rava says, therefore, because of that, We are concerned that people will confuse the two cases. Therefore, according to Rava, in order to properly differentiate get from other cases of kiyum shtaras, Rava mandates, or I should say the Mishnah mandates that what? That the shaliach not only say befanei nechtav, but also says what? Not only says befanei nechtam, but also says befanei nechtav. It was written, even though according to Rava, I don't really need befanei nechtav, but befanei nechtav is just there as way of differentiating this case of kiyum shtaras from other cases of kiyum shtaras. Ulu Rabba, d'amar lefi shem b'kiyum ishma, and according to Rabbu says that you have to say fine nechtam, because people in Chutz Laretz are not very proficient in lishma. Man hai tana debayik siva lishma. Both said this is very interesting. So remember, according to this approach, so Rabbu is holding it's all din lishma. So when Rabbu says that the eight says befanei nechtav or befanei nechtam, what the eight is testifying to is what? That the get was written lishma, and Rabbu said for our purposes right now, lishma means that the sofer wrote it for the sake of this particular woman and this particular man. So Rabbah seems to hold that the writing of the get has to be the Shema, and the signing of the get has to be the Shema. So the Gemara asks, by the way, according to Rabbah, who is the Tana debay ksiva l'shma amudeis, ubay chasim l'shma? Who is the Tana who requires both, both writing and signing the Shema? E Rabbi Meir, if you want to say it's Rabbi Meir, Chasima Boi, Ksiva Lo Boi. See, if you want to say it's Rabbi Meir, as we know, only requires Chasima Lashma. But say, we're going to talk about this machlokes later on. Rabbi Meir just requires that the signing of the witnesses be done at Lashma. If you take a quick look at Rashi, Rashi says Chasima Lashma by the Ksiv Kasavla. Actually, we'll see this in just a moment in the Gemara. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. Just a quick aside. We'll see this later on. The whole idea, everybody agrees that a get has to be lishma. That everybody's going to agree. We get that because the Torah says, v'kasav la sefer krisus. So the Gemara darshins, la means la lishma. A get has to be written for a particular woman. For the woman being divorced. The machlokis is going to be what part of a get has to be written lishma. So if you want to say the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir holds only the chasima, only the signing, has to be done lishma. That's the only thing that has to be done lishma. So the Gemara says, however, ksiva lo boy, but he does not require the writing to be lishma. I will say, which means, this is actually very important. Well, actually, let's see. This not, because we're under the Mishnah, Ain kosin b'mechubar lekarka. Rabbi say you can't write a get. Watch, you see this case later on. You can't write a get on something attached to the ground. Kosva mechubar lekarka tlasha v'chasmo v'nasna l'kasher. Rabbi say if you wrote the get on something attached to the ground, and then after you wrote it, you detach. Meaning, imagine you wrote the get on a big leaf, and then what happens? You went ahead and you wrote it on the leaf. You cut the leaf off, and then you signed it on the detached leaf. So what's that? Then you signed and you gave it to her. Kasher. Bo said, this reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, that all that has to be done, the Shema, ultimately is what? Is the chasima. Bo said, by the way, this is actually very important, because according to Rabbi Meir, what that means is, you know, the same way that you could go into a Sfarim store, and you could buy a pro forma ksuva, right, that has pretty much the basic text, but leaves out the blanks. So according to Rabbi Meir, you could actually buy a pro forma get as well. They could even customize it, you know, with all different variations of names. So you could go and I need a Reuven Rachel, you know, and they could go ahead and pull you the Reuven Rachel. And what happens? And as long as it's not signed, according to Rabbi Meir, that's fine. The ksiva doesn't have to be lishma. You sign the witnesses and you're good to go. So obviously our Mishnah can't be Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir only requires the signatures lishma. E Rabbi Elazar, and if you want to say it's Rabbi Elazar, ksiva boy, chasima lo boy. We'll say Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, holds that what? Interestingly enough, he only holds that the writing of the get has to be lishma, but the signing does not. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi's right across. Vi Rabbi Elazar, dor midorai se get she'in edev chasuma lo kosher. We'll say, as we're going to see, Rabbi Elazar's shita is that, technically speaking, you don't even need edim on the get, as we're going to see. Therefore, again, according to Rabbi Elazar, all you need is ksiva lishma. So we're in a little bit of a pickle right now, because again, it seems to be according to Rambam that both ksiva and chasima have to be lishma, but yet again we can't find an opinion that requires both ksiva and chasima. Rabbi Meir requires chasima, Rabbi Elazar requires ksiva. V'chitema the olam Rabbi Elazar he, maybe you'll say it is Rabbi Elazar. V'chilo boi Rabbi Elazar chasima lishma medaraisa. And when doesn't Rabbi Elazar require chasima lishma? That is only midaraisa, midirabanan boy. But ultimately, what? But ultimately, midirabanan, he does require. Midirabanan, he does require. He does require ksiva lishma. Excuse me, chasima lishma. So meaning, when I'm sorry, let me read that again. V'chitim Rabbi Elazar he v'chilo by Rabbi Elazar. When does Rabbi Elazar not require chasima lishma? Midaraisa. So biblically, he doesn't need it, but midirabanan, he does. Gemara said that can't be. V'hash lo shegitin psulim derabanan. Because Rabbi said the Mishnah talks about again three gitin that are pasul midrabanan. V'lo ba'i Rabbi Elazar chasim l'shma. And yet Rabbi Elazar did not require chasim l'shma in those cases. What are they? Disnan. Gimel gitin psulim. There are three gitin. There are three gitin Rabbi said that are pasul. V'mnises havlad kosher. But if a woman married based on these gittin, her offspring from her second marriage are not mamzerim, they're kosher. Which we'll say is another way of saying there are three gittin that are psulim midrabanan, but are kosher midaraisa. And therefore, again, lechatchila, she shouldn't remarry with them. But if she did, the get is still kosher. The children are kosher. We'll say, what are the cases? Ksav b'ksav yado ve'en alav edim. If you have a get written in the handwriting of the husband, but there are no witnesses on it. We'll say, we're actually going to discuss all of these cases in depth. So we'll say, in this case over here, because it's the handwriting of the husband, that seems to attest to the validity of the get, even though there are no witnesses. Yesh alav edim ve'in bozman. If you have a get that has witnesses, but has no date. We'll say, now dates we're going to discuss are very important, specifically for the collection of ksuva property. Yesh bozman ve'in bo ele edechot. There is a date, but there's only one witness that signed on it. Hare elu shloshe gittin psulin. The Bible says all three of these gittin are pasul. V'emiseis havlad kosher. But if she married based on these gittin, then technically speaking, the offspring are kosher. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afa pi she'en alav edim, ela shenasnu lo bifnei edim kosher. The gova minichasim mishubadim. The Rabbi Elazar goes a step further and he says that even if you have a get that there are no edim on it at all, but he gave it to her in the presence of edim, lemaisa, such a get is kasha. And Rabbi Elazar said not only that, but when she collects her ksuva, she could even collect from encumbered property. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. She'ein edim chosmin ala get ela mipnei tikun ha'olam. Because Rabbi Elazar's shita, Rabbi Elazar, is that you do not require signatures of witnesses at all on a get. Not daraisa, not derabanan. And the only reason we do have witnesses sign is mipnei tikuna olam. But say, what does that mean, tikuna olam? Look at Rashi. It's last Rashi on that of tikuna olam. Shema yamusu edim. Because we'll say, sometimes what we're concerned about is the following. Remember, what Rabbi Elazar does require is that the get be given over in the presence of witnesses. So the concern is that what happens if the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get, the mesiras haget, die, and someone then challenges the veracity of the get, then we're concerned that the woman may be stuck. Therefore, mipnei tikuna olam shemei musu ha'edim v'shuv ein lo edos lefichach nagu lachdom dim yamusu tirech hasimasam la'edim achirin v'yakiru. So essentially, what Rabbi Elazar holds is, Maker Adin, you don't really need witnesses to sign on the get. We only do it with the Tikkun Olam to safeguard the woman. So both say, so bottom line, you see over here that what? That Rabbi Elazar doesn't require a chasim of lishma. Therefore, the Mishnah can't be him. The other Rabbi Meir. So we're back to square one. Rabbi Meir, we're trying to figure out who is the opinion of the Mishnah. Namely, who is the one who holds that you need a ksiva and a chasim of lishma? The other Rabbi Meir he. Rather, must be Rabbi Meir. V'chilo by Rabbi Meir, k'siva l'shma, midaraisa. Maybe it's Rabbi Meir. I, Rabbi Meir, Remember, Rabbi Meir was the one who held that you require a chasima l'shma, but not a ksiva l'shma. Maybe Rabbi Meir holds, v'chilo by Rabbi Meir ksiva l'shma. When does Rabbi Meir say that you don't need a ksiva l'shma? That's midaraisa. But midrabanan boy. But maybe Rabbi Meir holds that midrabanan, you should have ksiva l'shma as well. Not true, I'll tell you why. V'amra v'achman, omer hayid Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, afilo matzo ba'ashpa. Let's say you find a discarded get in the garbage dump. And it was like we said yesterday, Mamish, you struck gold. What happened? It turns out this guy had a change of heart, right? Reuven was going to divorce his wife, Rachel, right? Again, another Reuven happens to find that his wife is Rachel as well. Like we said yesterday, why let a good get go to waste? So what happens? V'chasmo v'nasnala, he decides to sign the get and to give it to his wife. Kosher. Ultimately, such a get is kosher. So what do you see from there? You see from there that you do not require ksiva l'shma. V'chiteima anan, something I said. V'chiteima anan mid'oraisa kamas nilala. But Rabosei, so maybe you'll say, so the Mishnah is talking about only mid'oraisa. Ihachi omer hayu Rabbi Meir dvar Torah miboyle. Therefore, it should have said, Rabbi Meir should have said mid'oraisa. Elo the olam Rabbi Meir, he rather says the Gemara Rabosei, bottom line, rather the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. I'm sorry, Elohim Rabbi Lazar, I'm sorry. Rather, again, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Lazar. Bechilo boy Rabbi Elazar chasima. And when doesn't Rabbi Lazar require chasima, meaning signing of witnesses, hecha deleka edim klal. I will say that's when there are no edim at all. Hecha deika edim boy. I will say, here's what's interesting. Rabbi Lazar says like this, if you're not going to sign the get, you don't have to sign the get. That's fine. But if you are signing the get, then the chasima must be lishma. It's an interesting shita. You don't have to do it, but if you're going to do it, good musr in life, right? I don't have to do it, but if you're going to do it, then you better do it right. Right? So you don't have to sign the get, but if you're going to sign the get, the chasima should be lishma. Therefore, says the Gemara, v'chilo bai Rabbi Lazar chasima, heicha deleka eidim klal, heicha deika eidim boy. Dom Rabbi Abba, Moda Rabbi Elazar b'mezuyef mitocho, shupasel. Because Rabbi said at the end of the day, what? Rabbi Elazar agrees that if a get, literally, mezuyef misocho, Rabbi said, mezuyef misocho, Rashi says, is shechasam alav karov upasel shalolishma. Rabbi said, even Rabbi Elazar agrees that, let's say somebody produces a get, and on that get, the brother of the husband signed on it. I see, you should say, Rabbi Elazar, the get is still kosher. Why? Why? Because Rabbi Elazar doesn't require chasima at all. To which the Gemara says, no. Because at the end of the day, although Rabbi Elazar does not quote require chasima, but Rabbi Elazar holds, if you're going to sign it, it's got to be a kasha chasima. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that it is possible that our Mishnah indeed reflects the view of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar just requires ksiva l'shma, the writing to be l'shma. It's true. But Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that if you're going to sign the get, which may become the protocol for any get that is going to be sent from Medinas Hayom to Eretz Yisrael, that signing of the get should be done l'shma, and therefore again backs up Rabbi Shita that Befarei Nechtav, Befarei Nechtam is indeed a din of l'shma, and the Mishnah will reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar. We'll stop here, we'll pick up here tomorrow.